So recording this show out in the garden last week seemed to have frazzled my brain somewhat. So we're out in the garden again, and this is the Bugcast, episode 22. It really is this time.
Or mugging. In fact, don't take it seriously. We're only bugging.
There's a place in Seoul where you've got to wear your bow tie. You can wave your diamond, but they're not gonna let you inside. You can drive your Bentley, but they're not gonna let you inside. And then our man leisure suit you wear, they ain't never gonna let you in there. Spin you around some more. I like your stagger, your old fashioned, but I'm never gonna get you, am I?
Yes, it is Sunday the 3rd of August. It's about 6:45 on the Sunday evening, and you're listening to the Bugcast episode 22. Yes, I got it right this time. I'm out in the garden again, like I said, so I'm trying to be a little bit quieter than normal. I know I've got quite a few people in the neighbouring gardens, so I don't really want to give them cause to look over the fence at me in a funny manner. Yeah, that song was Son of Dave and Old Times or Good Times. A couple of not the normal style of song for the show coming up later on today. Right, today, wow, what a day today has been. For those that didn't know, we got Amy and Kara dedicated today. Dedication is similar to christening, except there's no water involved. Now, in the Baptist church, which is where Caroline and I both we both go to, the concept of christening doesn't really exist. And the reason for that is that when you get a child christened, you're making a promise on behalf of the child. They're going to live their manner in a certain way. And apologies again for the wind. In the Baptist church, they don't do christenings. They call them dedications. Because it seems to make more sense that, and I do agree with this actually, that it would be far better for the adult to promise that they will bring up the child in a certain way, and then allow the child to make the decision for themselves when they are old enough to do so. So, yeah, we had them dedicated this morning. Had loads and loads of friends and family come over, come up to Connors before us, including three batches of people from work, three families from work that came over to see us. Loads of family, loads of friends, and it was just the most awesome day. And I'll go into some more detail about that after the next song. So, someone shouting, "It's bedtime." Yes, the concept of dedication is quite unusual to some. When we say we're getting our children dedicated, they say, "Oh, what's that?" So we have to go through the whole discussion of what it was, a dedication, what's a christening, where the differences are between them. And like I said, I think that it does make a lot more sense to let the child make the decision for themselves whether they want to be baptized or not. Maybe that is just the the Baptist way. Cut that bit out. Maybe it's the fact that Caroline and I attend a Baptist church that for us it makes more sense to get them dedicated. If you'd spoken to an Anglican, Church of England, Methodist, they would probably give a very similar and equally as compelling argument to get them christened rather than dedicated. But it was our choice. We decided to go with it. I said I was going to talk about it after the song, wasn't I? But I won't. I'll talk about it now. We had, I think we had about 40, maybe 50 people that we invited from outside the church coming along. We had my boss and his brood, one of my fellow colleagues and his family. Phil from work came with his newly promised fiancé, Nick. They came up as well. And family, my mum, stepdad and sister and aunt came up from Evesham, which is about 120 miles from here. Unfortunately, there were some members of my family that couldn't make it. Notably, my sister who lives on the south coast, which is in excess of 300 miles to get here. So I'm not surprised they couldn't make it. And also my dad, who lives probably 240 miles away. So it's a real shame they couldn't make it. They missed out on a fantastic day, but it is a shame. Never mind. After the church service itself, we'd hired the hall at the back of the church, and we'd employed the services of a caterer to put some cold buffet food out for everybody. And the buffet, absolutely wonderful, really, really good food. Well prepared, well presented. We'd catered for 46 people and brought most of it back here, back home afterwards. We said afterwards that if people had nothing else to do and they wanted to come along and spend a bit of time with us after the churchy event, then they could do. And I think we had maybe 25 people in the garden at the peak. And it was just very awesome, absolutely awesome, to see all these people that have come up for the benefit of the kids. They've made such an effort. It's quite overwhelming, actually. So I can only offer thanks to those that that did come and make it, and also to those that tried but couldn't. You know, I can't blame you for not coming if other circumstances or distance prevents you from doing so. And I know I'm saying this and it's completely pointless because 90% of you don't listen to the show anyway, so it's not an issue, but I'm still buzzing on the at the moment. Probably wasn't the best idea to do a show straight afterwards, but Phil from work did suggest I should do the show after the event rather than before it, because then I'll have something else to talk about. Anywho, enough of me waffling for now. So that was just really a brain dump of how I feel at the moment. And yeah, suffice it to say, I feel on top of the world at the moment. Anywho, moving swiftly onwards, this is Lisa Redford and Come Back Down.
Come back down again.
That was Lisa Redford and Come Back Down. Just a reminder, all the songs from this show have been taken from the Podsafe Music Network, which you can find at music.podshow.com. What I want to talk about now is a news article that was sent to me by Phil from work. He sent me a couple of news articles over the last few days, one of which was the the revelation that a court in New Zealand have taken a young girl in as a ward of court in order that she can change her name. And she was given the name at birth of Tahula the Hula from Hawaii, I think was the name she was given. That was actually the name she was registered with. But because it's giving her so much grief in her life, she's been awarded the opportunity to change it to something a little bit more normal, if I could say normal. But I know that's old news for a lot of people, so I'm not going to cover that one too much. What I am going to talk about, as for the last few weeks, when I started talking about the issue with the DNS hack and Zone Alarm product being made rendered inoperable by a fix that Microsoft pushed out for their XP and Vista range of machine of operating systems, Phil sent me this link, which kind of looks at Microsoft a little bit better than I've certainly been portraying them over the last few weeks. And the article is entitled "Microsoft Backs Open Source Work." Microsoft has bolstered its credentials with advocates of open source software. It's given cash to the Apache organization, which oversees development of open source web server software, and it's also pledged to open up some of its communication software and protocols so that developers are free to study and use them. The moves are seen as significant because of Microsoft's former opposition to the way open source software is written and maintained. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Apache, I think it's called the Apache Foundation, are the people who have created the Apache web server. And I do believe that the Apache web server is actually used by the majority of websites on the internet. I could be wrong on that one, but I think it's either the majority or a very high proportion. The Bugcast website sits on the Apache web server. Yeah, as the article has said so far, Microsoft have hardly been, champions for the open source movement. So it does seem odd now that they've decided to start injecting cash into open source projects. The article continues. The announcements were made at the Open Source Convention in a keynote speech by Sam Ramji, a director of Microsoft's platform strategy. Software written under an open source ethic gives its developers free access to the inner workings of the code. By contrast, the source code of the software produced by Microsoft is hidden and only available to a limited number of people. In the past, this difference has led Microsoft to criticize the open source movement and its development methods. European Union regulators have battled for years to force Microsoft to release its Windows source code and have fined the company more than €1.6 billion over the last 5 years for failing to make its software more interoperable with rivals. And it's facts like this that make it even more astounding that Microsoft have decided to they've almost made the move to start developing open source software. Now, Microsoft have just recently, if I can click on the link without it crashing my system, have created the Port 25 open source community. And if I can just quickly go across there. Port 25 is the home to the open source community at Microsoft. This represents an open conversation. This represents an open conversation dedicated Linux, Windows, and open source interoperability. Now, if this is true, and this is the way that Microsoft are going to start moving, then this... I suppose you're splitting the community in half again, because you've got the people who already think that Microsoft is evil, and you're going to be expecting, I would imagine, that that half of the camp are thinking that Microsoft are doing this for completely the wrong reasons, and they're working towards something that is more for their benefit than the open source community effort. Then you've got the other group of people who already think that Microsoft are brilliant, are good. who are then going to think, oh wow, this is brilliant. This is another example of Microsoft proving that they are willing to work within the open source foundation and work cleanly and openly with other software developers. Now, I don't think I've ever given my full opinion on what I think about Microsoft. I think it actually does coincide quite well with what Phil said a couple of weeks ago, in that Microsoft they're not evil. They're not evil by any means. I'm still quite happy to use Microsoft software. What I do begrudge is the amount of money I have to pay to use it. That was the main driver for me dumping Windows and moving to Linux. I use Microsoft at work. I've got my PC at work, runs Windows XP, it runs Office Premium, I've got Visio, I've got Microsoft Project. I'm sure I've got some other Microsoft-related stuff on there as well. And for the four they do, and for the end user, the products are fine. There's no problems with them at all. Yeah, Windows has its quirks, and Office has its quirks. But in the grand scheme of things, to somebody who just wants a PC to work, it does a good job. When you look at the ethics behind the way that Microsoft work, and I'm particularly now a Linux user, I'm a very strong advocate for open source and free, as in freedom, software. For those of you who don't know who Richard Stallman is, go and look him up on Wikipedia. He was the founder of the Free Software Foundation, and I'm not trying to be him. I think I'd have to go a hell of a long way to be like him, but I do believe that that software should be free, as in freedom, for anybody to use in any way they see fit. And the way that Microsoft have always kept all of their code and their programs so tightly closed. Let me just give you an example that I gave the other day, because somebody at work keeps asking me, why do I use Linux? Why should I use Linux over anything else? And it's a very difficult question to answer. But the example that I gave to him as regards to open and free software was that if you discover a bug in a Microsoft application, a serious bug that needs fixing pretty damn quickly, you go to Microsoft, they put it in their bug list, they've got to go through and find a fix for it, and then, you know, within a period of time, they will produce, test, and schedule a patch for it. But that has to go through Microsoft. And because Microsoft are the only people that are doing this with Microsoft products, you can expect that they have one hell of a long bug list to maintain. Because they should be, they're probably getting bug reports all the time. Now, within the Linux community, let's take OpenOffice as, in fact, I'll use that as an example. No, I'll use Linux itself, GNU Linux as an example in its own right, as an operating system. If you find a problem with Linux and you report it to whoever runs your distribution, in my case Ubuntu, if you find a bug that's quite serious, you're going to get a whole jump group of people within the Linux community. They're going to jump on it from the word go, and they're going to find the bug. They're going to test it. They're going to fix it, and they're going to release a patch a damn sight quicker than Microsoft would do under the same circumstances. And the reason for that is that thank you very much. It's not just Ubuntu that are working on fixes for these software. It's open. Anybody can do it. The source code is available for anybody to pick up at any time, and therefore you've got the ability for anybody to physically go in and fix the software. Now, obviously, the fix isn't going to go live until somebody official has actually gone through and tested it and make sure that you've not injected some seriously badly behaving malware in there. But you've got the Linux community, in terms of number of bums on seats, is far vaster than the the number of bums on seats working for Microsoft that have the ability to fix issues within the Windows operating system. Now, from my viewpoint, that's quite important. But again, from somebody who just uses the software, is that such a big deal? I don't know. What do you think? That'll be the debate for this week. How can I word this? Does it matter to you in terms of the of closed and open software that if you're a Microsoft user, only one organization can fix bugs in your operating system? Because I know the majority of you will be using Windows over Linux anyway. So yeah, that'll be the debate for this week. Let me know what your feelings are. Interesting that I've had actually no comments from the debate last week, and in fact I can't remember when it was. Give me a second and I will find it. Bugcat? Good grief. Just rename the show. We're now called the Bugcat. last week's debate was... You cannot access this page. I told you my head is all over the place this afternoon, so I'm still buzzing from all the events of today. Right. Debate. Oh yes, were Macs right to defy UEFA's demand to close down during the Under-21 UEFA Championships 2009? I'd have had absolutely zero comments from that whatsoever. Now, there could be a very good reason for that, and I'll explain more about that after the... No, we can do that now. Sorry. Planning. We're going to go on to some feedback. Again, I haven't had a lot of feedback this week. I've had... The two comments I have had have all said... They've both said the same thing. I had an email from Leonie from West Suffolk who said... Hey-ho, me again. Alas, I managed to miss episode 21 being posted, but plan to listen to it tomorrow night, which is Friday, by which time there may be another podcast ready for listening. Apologies for being so lame, but I have a good reason for that lameness. Wink. Anyway, normal service will be resumed next week, when I shall allow myself out of Dunce's Corner to record a voicemail for the podcast. All for now, your regular correspondent, Leonie, News at 10, West Suffolk. She then posted... Interesting. Well, I'm trying to actually look at the comment on my phone. She then posted a comment that said... Stop it. By the way, messiest show ever, but that's always something I like about the Dumb Down Life as well. When podcasts go wrong. So, yeah, thanks for that vote of confidence. Now, I made a mistake last week. Now, what I normally do is when I put the show live, I'll make three posts on LiveJournal. One to the podcast community, one to the podcasting community, and one to my own journal. Now, it does seem as though there are people actually waiting on that post on my own live journal before... Yeah, all right, come on. Thank you. Before they actually... Stop it. Idiot. Before they actually go and download the show. Now, I forgot to do the live journal posts, so there are a number of people who didn't listen to the show. Now, as of Friday morning, I'd only had 14 downloads of the show, which is about half what I'd normally get. Bearing in mind that three of those are mine, that means only 11 people downloaded the show, which I was worried about, and I couldn't work out why until I remembered that I'd forgotten... Yeah, to post this journal entry. So, I do apologise for posting the journal entry. However, this prompted, again, in one of the conversations I had with Phil at work, to suggest ways of actually getting the show another way. And the best way to get the show on a regular basis is to use a podcatcher. Now, I'm not sure if that's the official phrase, but that's certainly the phrase I like to use. Other words are aggregators or RSS feed readers or whatever. Now, if you've got iTunes, that's probably the easiest and best way to get the podcast subscribed to. I'm not listed on the iTunes directory yet, something rather annoying about them not having a version for Linux. But you can subscribe to the podcast manually within iTunes. And you can do that by taking the... by taking the feed URL, which is on the show notes and also on the main website page, and pasting that into iTunes under the advanced subscribe to podcast item, and then it'll ask you for a feed URL. You just paste the feed URL into there, and it will then subscribe to it, and then iTunes will automatically download the show, I think within 6 hours of it having been posted. That's probably the one I'd recommend the most. If you don't have iTunes, and this is for people that either don't have an iPod or see no point in having iTunes, or don't use Windows or Mac, there are a number of other podcatchers that you can use that work adequately as well. I use one called... what's it called? Podcast Ready. I'll put the link to the show notes. Now, the reason I use that one, because they have both a PC and a mobile version. Because it depends on where I am as to whether I'm going to listen on my phone or whether I'm going to listen on my PC. Another one that Phil at Work uses and highly recommends is called Juice. It used to be known as iPodder, but I think there were some legal implications on that one. And again, I'll put the link in the show notes. For that one. And literally all they do is you put feed URLs into them, they keep checking every so often, as soon as the show comes along it downloads it for you. Now apparently Juice can also add podcast episodes to playlists on things like Windows Media Player, Winamp and other such and such things. So yeah, have a look at those. I suppose it's selfish of me, not selfish. What's the word? Dunno. I don't want you to miss a show just because I've forgotten to post a journal entry. So seriously, the best way of doing it is to get something that will subscribe to the feed and will download the show for you automatically. But yeah, I'll put those links in the show notes for you. Anywho. So yeah, I think that is all the feedback I've had this week. Let me just double check, because I know last week I forgot, and Leonie, I do apologise that you felt that I had forgotten you. You're all I did, didn't I? So I'm sorry. I got an email from her saying, "You're in so much trouble, mister," because you got to the point where I'd finished the feedback and then didn't realise I'd done it about 30 seconds later. So I do apologise. Okay, yes, so I think that is it for feedback. And we're going to move on to our final song, which is The Beggar's Lake, and the track is called The Confession.
tomorrow we leave it down with the spoils of war in our backs. But as the day breathes its last, we're down alone again. The dead pray for the living here, for the way we all die in vain.
Biggest Lake and The Confession. Some interesting tracks to be played today. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch with the show, either to leave comments, contribute onto any of the debates that we've had in the last few weeks, or even to submit introductions for the show. I am still without introductions, so anything from Junction. Oh my goodness me, what's wrong with me today? From episode 23 onwards. Would be fantastic. You can email all of that information to bugcast@thelovebug.org. You can send a voicemail with any comments, criticism or complaints to 020 80 99 1550, and you can also go to the website at bugcast.thelovebug.org for all the show notes. Okay, I did ask last week, and obviously because not a lot of people actually listened to the show because I didn't post the entry in my journal, about doing a live show, and I said that the guys from the Dumbed Down Life, who have recently obtained a server of their own, had offered the Bugcast the opportunity to do a live show. And I was wondering from you guys when you would want to listen to a live show. And all it would be is just connecting to a site on the internet at a certain time of the day for up to an hour. That's all it would be. I'll try and bully the Dumbed Down Life guys into me borrowing their webpage so that you can join into the chat room as well and actually contribute directly with the show as it's been recorded. So let me know what your feelings are on that. When would be a good time to... for you to take part in a show. Now, I'm looking towards maybe doing maybe sort of 9 till 10 on a Friday night, maybe even 10 till 11 on a Friday night. But, yeah, like I say, let me know what you think and whether you would be interested in taking part. All that will remain now is for me to thank you very much for listening to this rather garbled show. And I'm hoping that from next week things will be a little bit more better planned and a little bit more down to earth and not so many bloody flies crawling through my hair. But anyway, yes, so if all goes well, then we shall regroup in a week's time. Take care.